Hello, everyone. My name is Sam Huff, and I'm here alongside with Taryn Sargent, and we would like to welcome you to the QU Student Podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We are in the studio today on April 11th, a very nice and warm Tuesday out, now that we're starting to get the sun out a little bit more. And for today's show, me and Taryn are going to go through some of our media stories from last week. And so let's get them started. Taryn, would you like to go first?
I'll go first. Okay. Well, my story was kind of like an overview of different places that you can study and hang out on campus. I feel like with COVID-19, we were really told to kind of be in our room and especially to social distance. So it wasn't a thing of being like, let me go to new places and find some new friends. But now, you know, we don't have social distancing in place and we are able to not wear our masks inside buildings and we are kind of encouraged to socialize. So with that, that is a big part of our college experience. And so I just wanted to highlight some of the places on campus that you really can hang out at. When obviously covered some of the common places like the library and the SSC and some of the things that you might not think about, like for the library, you can now reserve a spot at the library for like up to a year. And that can just be your own spot. And they've got couches in there. They've got like window facing like seating. It's actually really cool. And I feel like a lot of people only go there to get help with like an assignment and don't really stick around to really see like the upstairs and like the kind of seating that is available. And then I kind of talked about the SSC and how obviously you do sometimes have to reserve a room to write on the walls and do group presentations and kind of just went into the pros and cons of that space and how we have the student success coaches there. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of went into some places that are kind of being neglected right now, like under the CAF. During COVID, that was kind of a thing to sit there because there's enough space to like obviously be social distancing.
They kind of wanted to enforce it that way, yeah.
Exactly, and now we really don't use it. Like you go down there and there's no one there, and really it should be something that's utilized because right next to there is obviously the bookstore and now they sell the Lotus drinks. So there are some perks that can be used like for that space and we obviously kind of dropped it and left it. And then also like some things on North Campus, like some spaces that we don't really might not even know about because only certain majors actually go and study there. Mm-hmm. Like there's some nooks and crannies upstairs on the second floor of the North Campus that kind of has some seating and some desks to hang out in between classes. And there's also on above the Connie Nieman Center, there's some seating and there's also its own like little bathroom that's kind of secluded. And obviously that'll let you park in that parking lot that's not as crowded as like everyone going into class every single day. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of spaces that are unutilized, like I listed a whole bunch. Another one is like second floor of Friars Hall. It has its own computer lab. It has a long table desk that you can just go in there. It's open to students all the time. Mm. And you can obviously print in there. It has a printer in there. There's plenty of spaces that go unutilized, like the student lounge. Like the list just keeps on going on and on. And if we wanted to, if it's students are interested and maybe wanted to email us at my email, which is sargeta at quincy.edu, and kind of tell me some of their new spaces that they maybe have found that I haven't found. Of course, I probably haven't seen all the different spaces and weren't able to list them all in my article. Mm-hmm. But if you want to check that out, there's some videos of like the student lounge, some places that maybe students have never seen and maybe want to go check out.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely very interesting. I, for one, had no idea that the library, that you could rent out a seat for up to a year. I think that's actually kind of shocking. I feel like, I don't know, maybe, again, like you mentioned, not a lot of people do go to the library, but for the few that do often, maybe you have some type of border war going on for being like, hey, I want this seat. Like, can we make a deal on that? For other, you know, kind of avoided areas that you've talked about, I would agree. I know it's technically for commuters, but I feel like it's a small enough area. I don't know if you've seen it as well, but the second floor on main campus where they have their own lot, and it's like a resting area. I feel like it could be kind of for everyone because how many commuter, one, I didn't even know about that till like junior year. So I wonder how many commuters truly do know about it if they're not living on campus.
Well, when I went in there was only one student. Yeah. And there is a lot of space in there. I kind of featured in the story. And I do want to say they changed the plaque to it says student lounge now. It does not say commuter lounge or anything like that. So I'm guessing they're trying to kind of rebrand it because they realize the space, there's only a small percentage of commuters, obviously. And then they probably wanted to make it available to everyone. And in that space, I kind of showcase the main areas, but also attached to the main areas, there are like little rooms that I'm guessing you can reserve, and they have tables in there, and like it should be more secluded for group work. So I think there's plenty of potential to hang out with your friends or actually get like academic work done. It's just the fact that students really actually have no clue that those spaces are even there.
Yeah. Well, very informative. I need to read it now. Once Nora posted it yet?
I have no clue about that. Hopefully, if it is not posted right now, it will be posted soon.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for this week on QUmedia.net for Taryn's new story about possible study areas and mostly unattended areas that students tend to forget about. So thank you for that. My story that I did today, we kind of are in the same boat. I just feel like I'm a little bit more hectic. I'm really in the, less than a month from graduation. And while it is super exciting being a senior, it's also a little bit too hectic sometimes in my eyes. But the story that I did on today, a little bit more about the seniors, is about the kiosk center that is in the center of campus, you know, kind of the four-way intersection leading up to Friars Hall. Not sure if many people know, but as I came into the school, I always knew a big, I guess you'd say myth, rumor, however you want to call it, but it was basically forbidden. You were told by a lot of elders to not walk through the middle of the kiosk, and I always thought it was kind of strange. I was like, wonder where it started. Why is that a thing? So I went and basically tried to find more information about the myth and hear current students' beliefs about the, I'd call it a tradition now, because I feel like a lot of students that I have talked to have brought that up before they graduate, and it's become kind of an event after graduation. They have like a huge line and everyone waits to walk through it. So it was really just eye-opening to me. A couple quotes that I got, had a nice one, Kennedy Fleer. She didn't want to say the name, but she knew of a friend that she was getting into the nursing program with freshman year. And she found out one night after a weekend that she ended up walking through the kiosk at the middle of the night, which obviously they just laughed about, like, haha, like, show it to the school. Well, it ended up turning out, as part of the myth, she failed to graduate and actually left the school the next possible semester. And yes, I know that could be a fluke, but I've also heard personal stories from my buddies. Former teammate, played a couple multiple sports, and he talked about how his buddy went through the kiosk. And ever since that, which was about a timetable of about a year and a half from when I met him to like when he walked in, that he was going through constant injury problems and like has not played a snap like since that's happened. So I think it's really crazy how some of the unfortunate events or things that do happen has kind of helped generate this myth around campus. And I think it's really made it kind of a big, I guess not team, but personal bonding for all the seniors at the end of the year and the end of their academic education. So I thought it was just really eye-opening and really exciting, and just getting me more excited for my own graduation.
It definitely is part of our culture for like to be like, do not walk, but in that kiosk. Interesting enough, one semester they put a garbage can in the middle to kind of block people from actually walking through the kiosk.
Yeah,
I remember that. Oh, and then I will say though, I did have a teammate who did walk through the kiosk. He was like, ha, bump it to the school. Mm-hmm. And he actually ended up failing out and transferring. And I don't think he actually even goes to college anymore.
See, I'm sorry. Like, again, this story is not to like point out people who've done it and then maybe something in life didn't go their way. It is just oddly coincidental that almost every person that I've heard that has walked through it before most likely did not finish at QU, which is just, it's just such a weird, obscure fact, but it's also just something that's, I think, just ties it closer to the community of just like how odd it is here to be here at Quincy and like how important it is.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think that is something that incoming freshmen especially need to read your article, because they mess up that one time, everyone's going to be like, oh, did you walk through that kiosk?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I feel like that's what really gets people too, is that they don't know. And then they're like, oh, I'm just going to walk through. I'm running late to class. And that's some serious juju that happens when you walk through that kiosk. So I definitely believe in it.
Yeah. I mean, I for sure believe in it. I mean, hey, I'm Still haven't done it yet, and I have, let's see, 32 days, I believe, until I walk under it. So I can wait till then. But it was nice. I got a couple more quotes, a couple freshmen who obviously have heard about it. And a couple of them are like, you know, it's just nice. I think it's a little bit out there, but it's also nice as like motivation to be like, hey, if I get through this, then I get this nice little personal gratitude at the end of it.
Yeah, well, thank you for obviously letting people know if they don't know so they can avoid, you know, not graduating.
Yeah, this is kind of just another polished up recap of it. There's also another related story that I put in it from former graduate Michele Barletta, and he also has another bit of a twist on it. So, again, hopefully that will be out by the end of this week. If you guys are interested in those stories, check out qumedia.net. by the end of this week for these stories this week and also previous stories throughout the year. Thank you to Terrence Sargent for coming on with me and talking about your story. And thank you guys for listening to the QU podcast. I'm Sam Huff, and this has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.